It's a sad piece of American history that in the big sweep of Europeans across the Americas, many ancient and meaningful native games, ceremonies, languages, and traditions were nearly swept away. But not everything. Charlie Grola, an Ojibwe from Bemidji, Minnesota, has done a lot to bring the moccasin game back to life where he teaches.
So my Indian name's Ogi Magijig, and that translates to Boss of the Sky. And my colors with that are dark blue and light blue. I'm Ndude Madik, so I'm Caribou clan. I got that from my Grandma Bernice's side.
Charles has moved around a bit. He's an enrolled member of the Boys Fort Nation, but spent his later childhood in Red Lake.
Yes, I'm enrolled in Boys Fort, Net Lake, Minnesota. My Grandma Bernice Gijig is from Boys Fort, and that's where my great-grandpa was, Charlie Gijig. They all played moccasin game, and so it was kind of cool how the game kind of came in a circle like that.
When he graduated from high school, he started a career in law enforcement until he decided to go in a different direction.
I took a class in college when I got my degree, and I got it done late. But I learned that, you know, arresting people and things, you know, doesn't really change our society as much as you think for the better. But working with youth does. So I knew I'd wanted to get out of it sometime between, you know, the age of 40 and 45.
Charles began teaching Ojibwe and also teaching what he had learned from his elders about the moccasin game. The game, estimated to be over 1,000 or more years old, looks simple to the unseeing eye. There are 4 marbles, 3 the same color, and 1 different, that are placed under moccasin pads. But it's actually a game of strategy. Drumming and special songs go with the game.
You can't just know it right away, and the strategy goes through even years of it where you'll see different strategies. Like now I've been playing it since I was able to play it on my own since I was 14, you know, I'm 45 now. The last few years of tournaments, I've seen a different type of strategy even at a higher level.
Charles continues to study, research, and play the game, taking notes and creating guides for his students. Those guides have now become a book. You're listening to The Call of the Wild. This week, I'm talking to Charlie Grola at the Cass Lake Bina High School, talking about the moccasin game. During my time with Charlie, he shared with me the legends surrounding the ancient game. You know, a good story should really be told all at once. So here it is, the legend of the moccasin game, as told to Charles Grola by an elder.
But the legend was this guy had a normal Ojibwe guy. They lived in a village on a waterway. He had a wife and a daughter, and they passed away. Legend didn't say how or anything like that, but they passed away, and the guy was stricken with grief. He got family would come over and try to cheer him up and talk to him and stuff, and he wasn't having it. You know, he was grieving pretty hard. Finally decided to head out. People kept bugging him and bugging him, so he just took off one day out in the woods. Went as far back in the woods as he could go. Kept walking and walking, and so far in the woods, you know, he was really far. He was trying to get away from everybody so they couldn't find him. And in the legend, it gets to a certain places, and then even the animals are taking pity on him. A deer is standing there and takes pity on him and was just going to give himself to him. So he walks up to the deer, and the deer doesn't move, and he has to walk around the deer, you know, just refusing the deer's generosity. And there was a few other times other animals did that to him, and he just kept going. He just kept going and going. He was deteriorated to the point, you know, his clothes were hanging, they were ragged. And he comes to this little field, and he's crossing it. And as he's crossing, he gets in the middle, and he falls down from exhaustion. You know, he's just had enough. He's on his knees and slumped over. And while he's slumped over, he hears somebody come up to his side, walking from the woods into the field. And, you know, he knows it's another human being. You know, and he's thinking in his mind, you know, I hope this is an enemy warrior. You know, I hope he kills me and puts me out of my misery. The guy walks up and starts, you know, asks him how he's doing. And then the guy says, you know, leave me alone, kill me, or leave me alone. You know, I don't want to be bothered. And the guy says, you know, what's wrong? You know, what could be that bad? So he goes on to tell him, you know, I lost my wife, my kid. I don't want to live anymore. I just want to, the quicker I get to the next world, the better off I am. And the guy says, well, you know, kind of, has sympathy for him and says, geez, you know, you got life to live yet. You still got people here. You still can do some things. You'll go there at some point, but you're here for now. So he helps him sit up. You know, he kind of sits him up and says, you know, I got something for you. I got something I'll give you. You know, I can't bring your wife and kid back, but I'm going to give you something. You can bring it back to the people, and it'll give you happiness. Again, it'll bring happiness. It'll bring people together. And it's something that takes care of his players, and it's a healing game. And so the guy says, okay, you know, that sounds good. And so he sits him up, and then this guy pulls out some dried meat, a little bit of dried berries and some tea, and feeds the guy, and instantly he starts feeling better. He gets this nourishing gift. He accepts it, drinks the tea and the food and stuff, and he's starting to feel better. So the other guy is carrying a sack over his one shoulder, and he pulls the sack off and opens it and starts pulling out these game pieces, the counting sticks. He pulls out the short counting sticks, he pulls out the moccasins. He pulls out a shooting stick. The shooting stick was from the tip of his middle finger to his shoulder. It was the length of the first shooting stick. He had this blanket. He laid the blanket out and put this stuff on there. The last thing he pulled out was a drum, and he pounded the drum, showed him the drum beat, and told him there'd be lots of songs. So he put all that stuff on, and he told him the rules of the game, how the game would be played. Showed him how the game would be played. Then he packed it all back up in a bag, and then gave it to the guy, and told him to bring it back to the people. And he said that the game would evolve over time. And people would play it different in different places, but it would last as long as the world would last. And then told him to take it back to the people. And then when this guy gave him the sack, he turned to walk back towards the woods, and he took four steps. And the guy looked at him, and from the knees down, there was black fur. He took another four steps, and from the waist down was black fur. Another four steps, shoulders down were black fur, and another four steps, and he was on the edge of the brush line. And it was all black fur, and it was a bear, and then the bear ran off into the woods. So early on, it was called the bear game, and it's still considered a healing game. It heals its players and takes care of them, and I kind of really believe that all the old guys that I learned from lived to be pretty old.
And the black bear ran off into the woods. The moccasin game is a boys' or man's game. Girls learn it and play it as well, but more for the purpose of learning and preserving it.
You know, woman's medicine is stronger than a man's, and, you know, and I'm pretty sure every man will agree that women have a higher level of things, you know. So, you know, if they could probably play in anything, they'd probably be winning everything, you know. So, you know, and I think that's a big part of keeping it alive, because my mom and my grandma Fanny knew things about the game, the counts and strategies and stuff. You know, so I knew they had a good grasp of it.
With the Call of the Wild, I'm Milt Lee.